Last year, he happened to be the last scholar in residence in the Young Israel Jamaica States before I came there, and I hear about him quite frequently with great admiration and respect, and telling me the various things that he spoke about as scholar in residence at the shul. So I look forward to his presentation. Dr. Lyman is a professor of Jewish history and literature at Brooklyn College. He also is visiting professor at the Bernard Revel Graduate School at Yeshiva University, and he will address us on resources in Jewish history. Last year, he happened to be the last scholar in residence in the Young Israel Jamaica States before I came there, and I hear about him quite frequently with great admiration and respect, and telling me the various things that he spoke about as scholar in residence at the shul. So I look forward to his presentation. Dr. Lyman is a professor of Jewish history and literature at Brooklyn College. He also is visiting professor at the Bernard Revel Graduate School at Yeshiva University, and he will address us on resources in Jewish history and Jewish thought in medieval and modern times.
Before Dr. Lyman begins, let me remind those of you who are here, when at the end of the program you have to go back to get your cars, there's a van service downstairs for you, so don't forget and don't worry.
Thank you very much, Rabbi Hochberg, for your kind introductory remarks. Well, Morai v'Rabosai, this is not intended as a shiur or a lecture. It is intended to be a hands-on workshop on the title that was given to me, What a Rabbi Should Read. After some brief introductory comments, we will go directly to a few svarim that I brought with me. That it seems to me that rabbis should either own them or at the very least be aware of their existence. If they read them too, ma tov. My aim is to prove to you that there are books and Sifrei Kodesh that make worthwhile reading even for rabbis. And I hope that every person here today will discover at least one item whose existence he was unaware of. And if that occurs, then this presentation will have been justified. Finally, I wish to discuss with you, and I hope I'm not repeating too much that was already done by the earlier presentations, I'd like to discuss with you how to learn about the existence of these books that are here today and how you go about acquiring them. Now, I guess the first thing that we should focus on, if only for a moment, is why is there a problem? And again, I don't know if that's already been discussed in some detail in the earlier presentations. And to give you just some insights into why there's a problem in locating the books that are worth reading, there's a beautiful passage that occurs in a work by Rabbi Yosef Shlomo Rofe del Medigo of Candia. And in this work, it's called in Novlos Chochma, he writes as follows. Kol ha'om omrim hadafus ho'ilonu. Everybody says that the inventing of the printing press was a boon. U'v'emes shemalechas hadafus kilkelo ha'torah. The printing press brought room to Torah study. Shemalefnim lios ha'sforim yichtovim bidomim yikorim midei ha'sofrim. Once, when books were only available in manuscript, obviously you had to pay a lot of money for the labor involved in copying a manuscript. Only books that were worthwhile did people invest in. And unfortunately, since the invention of the printing press, there's been a tremendous explosion, as you well know, of books in print. Anyone can publish his own book, and it's becoming very difficult to weed through this enormous amount of material. So again, that's simply to highlight the problem for you. Now, I deliberately cited that passage from a new periodical that I want you to know about. This is called Sfunot. This is a gold mine of bibliographical information, specifically Torah bibliographical information. Practice has almost become that most of the authors in Bnei Brak circles publish their first pages in this periodical. It's published regularly, approximately 4 or 5 times a year. Well worth reading. Sfunot. Now again, you don't have to own any of the items that I mentioned here. Take the trouble to come to the Gottesman Library at Yeshiva University, and you'll find anything that I have on this table at the Gottesman Library. Sfunot. Tzadi Pei Vav Nun Vav Tav. Of course, the problem is compounded, obviously, by what you know well, namely that the rabbi is preoccupied with many, many activities, and time constraints simply make it impossible for rabbis to be aware of what's in print. I can tell you that libraries, by and large, have great difficulty with acquisitions and finding the appropriate books. So there's no surprise at all that this indeed is very difficult, and that's why I hope this and the other presentations will prove of aid. What should a rabbi read? Since I'm not a rabbi, I'm in no position to answer that, really. You are. But I have some suggestions. First of all, it seems to me a rabbi should read anything his balabatim are reading. I say that from the perspective of a teacher. I learned long ago that I have to read whatever my students are reading, whether I like it or not. And I'll read to you a passage from a sefer, from none other than the Psalm Sofer. Where the Psalm Sofer told the rabbi what he should be reading. And then I want you to be aware of this sefer as well. First, I'll read the citation. Achsam Sofer Pam Diber im Talmido Moreno Harav Hagon Rav David Alt of Bezen Koibersdorf Ne Inyon Hamin Hogin V'sho'alo Rabo. The Achsam Sofer asked his student Im Yeshlo Luach the High Shato, does he have the calendar for the year Shebo Nitvisu Hamin Hogin, which of course contains Min Hogin and Halachos V'heishiv Lo Lamed Aleph, and the answer was no, I don't have a Luach. V'hochichol hachsam sofer zal, al zeyan ki beluchos halolu yad hakol mimashmishin bo, ubekiyim bohem. All the balabatim see the luach hanging on the wall. They read the minhagim on the luach. V'yuchal hizdamein sheyishalu es harav, davar v'lo yuchal lahoshiv miyad, o yifsok lefamim itcha, imashikosiv beluach. V'yomru ki harav amoretzu, v'yizbazal yedeze, v'ein ze kovar hatorah. Al Kane, his hero, Shemehayom, Vahola, Yikachlo, Gami, Lucho, Sa'ele, Achiyu, Misukanu. Now, this is from a very superb volume that I recommend to every rabbi. This is a collection of anecdotes about the Chsam Sofer from contemporaries and from manuscripts which have not yet been printed. It's called Safra Rabba the Yisrael, Safra Rabba the Yisrael. It was published by Rabbi Strasser. Brooklyn, New York, 1987. Another area where rabbis should read is rabbis should read the Makom Shelibo Chafetz Bar. As a rabbi should read in those areas of Torah that he's really interested in studying. I want to read to you the formulation of this notion, not as it appears in the Talmud, which we all know, but as it appears in a later Kabbalistic ethical work, the Shevet Musar, and there's a reason why I'm holding this particular edition in my hand, which I'll describe after I read the passage. V'olam yiyya ikor limutcha b'dover shel Torah shel libcha chafetz yoser. In b'gemara, gemara. In b'drush, drush. In b'remez, remez. In the Kabbalah, Kabbalah. The Remez Ledavar, Pasuk in Tehillim, Ki B'Toras Hashem Cheftzo. Omar, Toras Hashem Tluya B'Dover Shelibo Chofetz La'asok. ושכוסף הארי על פי דרך האמס. ואל תביט ותשגיח לדברי המנגדים על מה שחשקת לעסוק בתורה, בגמורה או בפשט או בדרוש וכו'. ואומרם לך, למה אתה מוציא כל ימיך בפרט זה של תורה ולא בפרט זה? משום שעל מה שחשקת ללמוד, על דבר זה בוסה לעולם. And that's a very different formulation from the Talmudic formulation. So this too, a rabbi should remember. I deliberately chose that passage and this particular edition of Shevet Musar because I want to talk about the significance now of upgrading rabbinic libraries. So I'm going to talk about three elements. One is upgrading, one is new acquisitions, and the third is retrospective buying. We'll start with upgrading. I have never met a rabbi in recent years who drives a Model T Ford or a Pierce Arrow. Yet I have to admit that occasionally I've been invited into the homes of rabbis and I've examined their libraries, and I felt like I was visiting the dinosaur section of the Museum of Natural History. Often a rabbi will show me that he has 9 volumes of Torah Shlema, of Rabbi Nachum Kasher, very important work. But of course, volume 41 appeared recently. Obviously, with the growing ability to, growing technology and the ability to reproduce books by computer and so on and various offset methods, it's important to replace old Sfarim with new and better editions. And a good sample is the Shevet Musar, which I'm holding here, which is a great classic, an 18th century classic of Musar, which originally was difficult to find. There were many reprints in the 19th century. They were printed in Rashi characters, not easy to read in small script. About 10 or 15 years ago, a beautiful edition appeared in Yerushalayim with square Hebrew letters, with some notation, but not much. And that was certainly upgrading right there. And now a superb edition has appeared, vocalized, with all biblical verses, Talmudic passages identified, and so on. It's really a pleasure to read, and this is the kind of upgrading that one should engage in. This is a 2-volume work, the Shevet Musar, and this is just a sample of what's going on in printing today, and I will quickly give you a few more. Reb Eliyahu HaKohen, right? Shevet Musar by Reb Eliyahu HaKohen Hoitmari, an 18th century Sephardic author. Many of us sitting here went to school together, and we all learned Chai Yadam as part of the curriculum. We learned we used to use a Hebrew publishing company, thin Chai Yadam with half the letters missing, pages unclear. It was the same edition, re-photographed again and again and again. In Eretz Yisrael now, they've published a beautiful edition of the Chai Yadam, by the way, which includes all the passages that were censored from the American edition. That alone makes it worth reading. Again, beautiful print, vocalized, comes in a 2-volume edition as well as in a 1-volume edition. Makes a superb bar mitzvah gift, by the way. But in any event, I don't get a percentage on any of these sfarim that I'm recommending. But this is what I mean by upgrading again. There's no excuse for allowing students or learning with Valabatim using the old Chai Yadam when you have a text like this, which literally enlightens the eyes. One of the great classics of Drush and a beautiful parish on all of Tanakh is the Alshich. And for years we've been using reprints of the Alshich again in small Hebrew script, the reprints never very clear. The Alshich now on the 5 Megillos has been published in a beautiful 2-volume edition, square Hebrew characters, all the references, Talmudic passages, biblical verses identified. And the Alshich al HaTorah has now been published in a 5-volume set. Again, beautiful Hebrew. For the first time, you can relax and look at the Alshich, and this is a gold mine of information for people who have to engage in drush. I have to consider this one of the most important of all this forum that you're going to hear about today. This just appeared a few weeks ago. This is volume 3 of the Minchas Chinuch. Here again, we're talking about upgrading. This is the Machon Yerushalayim edition of Minchas Chinuch. It's Sefer HaChinuch, which is a great classic, a marvelous volume for teaching. I can't imagine a rabbi of a synagogue who would not have somewhere an opportunity to teach from Sefer HaChinuch. If you get a vocalized Sefer HaChinuch for the Balabatim, they're in good shape. If you have this volume, you're in good shape. And this will give you everything you need to know, the latest references in Shalos and Shuvos and so on any mitzvah of the Taryag Mitzvos. Done again beautifully. This is, I must say, to my mind, the most important work ever published by Machon Yerushalayim. They just completed the entire Minchas Chinuch. This is volume 3 that I'm holding, which just appeared in print. I myself give shiurim on occasion, and I recently gave a shiur on Parshas Zohar, and got very important material from this new updated version of the Chinuch and the Minchas Chinuch. Finally, for those of you who are into profound Jewish thought, again, I'm only discussing upgrading now. In Eretz Yisrael, they are reprinting all the writings of Reb Tzadok HaKohen of Lublin, resetting the type with full references so that you can immediately find all the passages referred to in Reb Tzadok HaKohen. This is the latest edition of Tzidkas HaTzadik of Reb Tzadok HaKohen. There are already several volumes in this new series available. Okay, that was. These are simply samples, as I say, of upgrading. I leave that and I move to new acquisitions. Sfarim that recently appeared in print, and it's certainly important that you be aware of their existence. I'm going to start with rabbinics, and I'll go by topic, rabbinics. Again, I don't intend this to be reviews of the Sfarim. Moreover, I do not necessarily attest that there can't be improvements made on some of the editions of these Sfarim. I am saying that these are the Sfarim that it seemed to me would be of most interest at this time. Almost all of them were published in the last year, some of them a week ago, a few a little older than a year. So these are recently published Sfarim by and large. It's important to be aware of new editions of Midrashim, new editions of Rishonim, samples. Medrash Mishlei is now available in a critical edition. This is a beautiful Medrash. For years, anyone who's been studying and using the Buber edition will know that often in Rishonim and so on, you find a citation from Medrash Mishlei, and it's not printed in the standard editions that everyone has. We now have a critical edition based on all the manuscripts, and here you will find all the citations and very important ones from Medrash Mishlei. This was published by Baruch Vizatsky. This is New York, 1990. New York, 1990. This may have come up in the previous presentation, I don't know. Jacob Neusner has edited a translation of Talmud Yerushalmi into English. 24 volumes have appeared in print to date. Now, if he had done the volumes himself, I wouldn't be holding this volume here. But since he had various students prepare the volumes, and he had them checked by Talmidei Chachamim, I feel more comfortable informing you about this. But know that just as Bavli is available in English translation, Yerushalmi now is available in a fairly decent translation for many of the Masechtas. As I say, 24 Masechtas are already available. This is University of Chicago Press, and this particular volume is Brachos, which just came out. University of Chicago, 1989. Actually, it appeared in 1990. Rabbi Yosef Kafich in Eretz Yisrael has been producing a magnificent commentary and a comprehensive commentary on the Mishneh Torah. This is volume 10 of his Perush on the Mishneh Torah of the Rambam. A goldmine of information. Again, anytime you're teaching Hilchos Tshuva, any aspect of the Mishneh Torah, it's almost a must that you look in these volumes. This particular volume is published Yerushalayim, Rabbi Yosef Kafich, Yerushalayim, 1990. His Talmidim, who I know personally, tell me he pronounces it Kafich. So, even though in English it's ordinarily written K-A-P-A-A-H. Elu v'elu divrei Elokim chayim. Just as there are a series of Rishonim, and you all know that there are many sets of the Rashba that are being put out now with commentary, Ritva with commentary, Meiri with commentary, now in Yerushalayim they started the Ran with extensive Chidushei HaRan on all of Shas. The first volume just came out. This is the Ran on Avodah Zarah. It's a beautiful volume. Again, the last of the great Rishonim on Shas with extensive commentary based on manuscripts and so on. So we add this to what we already have in Rishonim, Yerushalayim 1990. Talmid of the Rashba and so on. The Ran who lives a little later. All right, so this is Reb Nissen ben Ruvain. This is the Ran Al Shas, not on the Rif. Al Shas. Just a sample, and there are many, many, and I can't go into it here because we just don't have the time, but a sample of a Rishon that's now being published based on the first printed edition, is far superior. This is the Kolbo. Kolbo is a classic work. This is not the Kolbo on Avelis. This is the Rishon Kolbo, on written by a Gadol who lived somewhere in the 14th century in Provence. It's a close relative of another sefer called the Orchos Chaim. In any event, the first volume of a new edition of the Kolbo, again printed beautifully. This appeared in Yerushalayim, 1990. No, this is not Masada Rav Kook. The editor's name is David Abraham. No publishing company mentioned on the title page. I couldn't find the books on Tanakh before, so now I'm going to go back for a minute to the Bible. Be aware that there is now a beautiful one-volume edition of the Breuer Tanakh. This was published in Yerushalayim in 1989. It comes in a large format and in a small format. It is exceedingly valuable because this is the only edition of Tanakh based entirely on the Aleppo Codex. This is the most precise version of Tanakh in existence today. So, superior to every edition, much superior to Koran. Yeah, this is the Breuer edition of Tanakh. It's available. It comes in three volumes if you want it, but now it's available in a one-volume handy small edition. It comes in a larger edition. And I don't have the time here, and this is not the place to discuss why it is, but if you have a problem with your Bal Kore, you might want to keep this around. In any event, be aware that we now have a better edition of Tanakh. Again, this is based on the Aleppo Codex. In fact, all the lines where we have the Aleppo Codex, he arranged the lines according to the Aleppo Codex. The various Shirot are also arranged according to the Aleppo Codex, and that's different than any other printed edition of Tanakh, including Koran. Okay, Koren has some other advantages, which, again, I don't want to get into. It's worth owning Koren as well, but this is the finest edition of Tanakh that you can buy and the most accurate edition of Tanakh that you can buy. This is Mossad Rav Kook. Yes. Well, fair. Some are in a sense upgrading also. You're right. I wasn't all that clear. What you're pointing to is in how short a time I had to gather all these materials together. I guess in a sense, at least the Tanakh that I just showed you is not really upgrading. It's different in kind from every Tanakh that came before. We don't have a Tanakh that was printed earlier, including the Mikros Gedolos, that's in fact based on the Aleppo Codex. The only Tanakh that we have which actually prints exactly what's in the Aleppo Codex is the Breuer edition. Now I want to bring to your attention a phenomenon that's occurring right now in the Jewish community, right here in the United States. Due to modern technology and the kind of sophisticated machinery that's available to Jews now, at least four private entrepreneurs in New York City have decided to reprint all Sfarim that are out of print. They have produced hundreds of volumes, literally hundreds of volumes. They are produced more quickly than we have the ability to even learn their titles and certainly to buy them. This is happening right now, all available here in New York City. But they are producing magnificent materials, or reproducing magnificent materials. And there's no end to it. It's in every area of Jewish study, so long as it's in Hebrew. And this includes Sifrei Halakha, commentaries on the Talmud, commentaries on Tanakh, commentaries on Rishonim, Shelos and Shuvos, hundreds and hundreds of volumes of Shelos and Shuvos, every Salonika print, and so on. So if you are interested in these items, be aware that they're now available. What it really means is there's no excuse now for ignorance. The Sfarim are available. Excuse me? Yeah, I'm going to, the last part of this will be devoted to how you can acquire them. But I, belonging to this category, you're going to see a typical sample of what they look like. They come bound, usually in black, occasionally in red. They're very finely reproduced, and here I'm holding a sefer called Koheles Yaakov by Reb David Pardo. Reb David Pardo was a Sfardi who lived in the 18th century, wrote a magnificent commentary on Nevi'im and Ksuvim. And it's very hard to get commentaries on Nevi'im. And this is on Yeshua, Shoftim, Shmuel, Melachim, and this has just been reprinted, and here you have, as I say, so Koheles Yaakov from Reb Yaakov Pardo, the son of Reb David Pardo. This is just one of endless such volumes being reproduced. I'll have perhaps a few more samples a little later. We continue with various kinds of rabbinics items, and we'll try to move a little more swiftly, perhaps. Medrash HaChefetz, Gracious and Shmos. Shmos just published this week. This is done by Dr. Meir Chavatzelet of Yeshiva University, just been published by Mossad Rav Kook. So this is Yerushalayim 1991. Again, this is a beautiful commentary by a 15th century Yemenite Jew, Zechariah ben Shlomo Horofe, goldmine of Midrash, Midrashic and other passages, lost Midrashic passages. Gracious and Shmos, now published. For those of you interested in the in Hasidic literature, it's rare that a Hasidic classic is published the way it should be published, that is, with extensive commentary. Well, again, this is Tzafnas Paneach by Rabbi Yaakov Yosef of Polnoya. All right, Tzafnas Paneach. might have told us, right? But this is the Sefer Tzafnas Paneach. Beautiful Sefer with every beautiful print, type reset. It's not just a photograph. Moreover, all sources given on the page with extensive commentary to parallels elsewhere in Hasidic and Kabbalistic literature where relevant. Very well indexed, and I found this Sefer already very useful for my own learning. This is published in Brooklyn, 1991. Sefer Tzafnas Paneach. Not yet, no. There are other parallel editions. Haven't done it yet. I mean, this is the first volume to appear in this format. And this surely belongs to upgrading, without question. Okay. Those interested in Rabbi Yonason Eibeshitz and his beautiful comments on the Torah, Machon Yerushalayim has come out with its second volume of the Gesammelte Schriften of Rabbi Yonason Eibeshitz al HaTorah. This gathers from about 30 different volumes and perhaps even more manuscripts, all his writings, and places them on the biblical verses, verse by verse. Bereishis is out already. I'm holding Shmos, which is Yerushalayim 1991. Anything in Yaros Dvash that's on the Torah or on a Pasuk will be pulled out from Yaros Dvash and put in here. In other words, this is an encyclopedia of biblical interpretation by Rabbi Yonason Eibeshitz. And this includes Avos Yonason, it includes all his various Sfarim that he wrote. This is Machon Yerushalayim. I take it Rabbi Bleich mentioned these. I can only they're too heavy to carry, so I only brought one with me. But in Yerushalayim, Nochum Rockover has now published the second volume of the Otsar HaMishpat, which is a crucial reference work for every article ever written on any halachic topic of interest. He also published an English version, the multi-language bibliography of Jewish law. This is crucial. Supposing you want to give a shiur on some aspect of Hilchos Nida. Supposing you want to give a shiur on Libun, whatever the topic may be, this will lead you to all material in English so that you can, if you have interested congregants who can't handle Hebrew but can read English in a sophisticated manner, here it is. This just was published, the English list. And other languages as well as the Otsar HaMishpat, which is the complete list of everything ever written in Hebrew on halachic topics. This is Nachum Rakover, Rakover, the multi-language bibliography of Jewish law. And this is certainly crucial for anyone doing any kind of work in Jewish ethics or medical ethics and so on. A complete author index, complete topic index on whatever subject you like, through the date of publication is 1990. This is Jerusalem, 1990. They're all different publishers. And I'm going to come in a few minutes. I will begin to tell you what that's part of difficulty. It's almost no way you could begin to locate all these books because they come from different publishing houses and there isn't a Sfarim store in the world that carries all this material. So that I'll reserve for the end. Anything else? We're going to move to liturgy. Do I have enough time to take okay. Liturgy. There are a few topics that are more important, it seems to me, for rabbis and teachers than liturgy. What else should we be teaching, if not the meaning of the prayers we recite? Major work, Pirkei Yerushalayim, called HaPiyut, which is a complete history, an introduction to and history of Piyutim. This is by Aaron Mirsky. This is Yerushalayim, 1990. Magnus Press, and I can't begin to tell you how many shiurim you can get out of this before Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, or before the Yom Tovim when you have a book like this available to you. This is just one. Ezra Fleischer, Hayotzrot. The full title is Hayotzrot Vihitavutam Vihitpatchutam. This is a complete history of all the Yotzrot. What are Yotzrot? What are all these? And that could be in many synagogues and no longer recited, but where they're still recited, it might be important to find out what their history is, how they got inserted into the tefillot, what they mean. And these are superb studies by the leading scholar in Israel on the top. Ezra Fleischer. Fleischer, Hayotzrot. The publisher of Hayotzrot is Magnus Press, Jerusalem. Don't worry about the publishers, because I'm going to give you some material later that will help you locate any of these books without knowing the publishers. The same Ezra Fleischer published a beautiful book on called Tfilah, Uminhagei Tfilah, Eretz Yisraeliyim. Tfilah, Uminhagei Tfilah, Eretz Yisraeliyim. And if you read this, you'll begin to get a history of the Nusach HaTfilah. What are the different Nuschaot for Shmoneh Esrei? Why on Shabbat do we have these three different Nuschaot? What do they really reflect? And so on. All these matters in a book like this, and it's something that if you give a course in Siddur, or just for your own learning, well worth knowing about. Okay, last item in liturgy. Sha'ar HaKolel. Sha'ar HaKolel is a superb commentary on the Siddur, written in the 19th century by a Lubavitcher Chassid. All right, his name was Avraham David Lavut. Avraham David Lavut. And in fact, by and large, his comments really are on the Hasidic Nuschos of Tefillah. It's a superb volume, which was available till now in a terrible edition, which I own in my house. And this is another sample of upgrading. It has now just been published in New York, 1990. Beautiful. They reset the type with all the references, and it's really what you call a must-read for anybody interested in Siddur. Excuse me? Cost? Yeah, the publisher is Kahoot Publishing Company. All right, I come to the last groups that I want to discuss, which are really history and thought. I'll begin with a few items that I'll call history, though again, don't put too much stock in the categories. Some items can be moved easily from either history to thought or from thought to history, but I'll begin with what I call history. Professor Chaim Soloveitchik of Yeshiva University has published a volume called Shelot U'Tshuvot Kimekor Histori. How to use Shelot U'Tshuvot as historical sources. This is, again, a magnificent book. I don't have to tell you that. Endless shiurim that you can give based on this, using this as a source book. This is published Jerusalem, 1990. Jerusalem, 1990. Shelot U'Tshuvot Kimekor Histori. In response to literature, he has an English title, The Use of Responsa as Historical Source, a Methodological Introduction by Chaim Soloveitchik. This book will be very useful for any rabbis here accused of heresy. This is a superb volume published by Elisheva Karlbach called The Pursuit of Heresy. The Pursuit of Heresy. It is a biography of Rabbi Moshe Chajiz. Rabbi Moshe Chajiz, who lived in the beginning of the 18th century and persecuted the Sabbatean movement and some members of his family as well. But anyway, Rabbi Moshe Chajiz, the name of the book, The Pursuit of Heresy, Rabbi Moshe Chajiz and the Sabbatean Controversies by Elisheva Karlbach. This is Columbia University Press, New York, 1990. It is a magnificent volume. This really rabbis should not read. but I can't help plugging a volume published by the Bernard Revel Graduate School. This is a new book just appeared called Scholars and Scholarship. It is edited by Dr. Leo Landman. Has a series of lectures by some very notable people like David Berger. To give you some of the titles so you could see the kinds of things you'll find here. And obviously, you'll see what I mean by not reading in a minute, but I really mean it's probably worth reading the other articles. You should read articles like The Changing Position and Outlook of Halachists in Early Modernity by Jacob Katz. Yecheskel Kaufman's Account of Early Christianity by David Berger, and so on. There's some very, very lovely articles in this volume. Yeah, there's one by me, and that's what I meant. There's one here by me, which actually you should read it. If you don't sleep well, you read a few paragraphs before you go to bed, and it works wonders. Okay. Yes. Yeshiva University Press. I haven't read this book yet, but I surely feel that it's something that should be brought to your attention. Rabbi Azriel Hildesheimer and the Creation of a Modern Jewish Orthodoxy. Rabbi Azriel Hildesheimer and the Creation of a Modern Jewish Orthodoxy. The title speaks for itself. It's by David Ellenson, University of Alabama Press, 1990. It's just appeared in print. A very interesting book, this one I did read. New York's Jewish Jews, The Orthodox Community in the Interwar Years. New York's Jewish Jews, The Orthodox Community in the Interwar Years. The book is by Jenna Joselit, J-O-S-E-L-I-T. It is a history of Orthodoxy in New York between the wars. It is very useful to use to help understand and to put into context what Orthodoxy looks like today. As I say, this is really an important book to read. So New York's... Oh, okay, good, good. Fine, very good. I move to Jewish thought, the last category. I'll begin with medieval and I'll move into modern. Rabbi Avraham ben HaRambam, Sefer HaMaspik LeOvdei Hashem. Now this is an ethical treatise by Rabbi Avraham ben HaRambam. This is not upgrading, this is a new book because this contains much material that has never appeared in print before. The original was written in Arabic. It's now available in Hebrew translation. Rabbi Avraham ben HaRambam, Sefer HaMaspik LeOvdei Hashem. This is, as I say, an ethical treatise where he quotes conversations he had with his father. And so we have here new Rambam material, material about the Rambam never available before in Jewish history. So I can't imagine a rabbi not being interested in this. Though, fragments, part of the original manuscript was translated into English by Rosenblatt. That's why I'm telling you this is a new work. All right, this includes that and much more. Okay? This particular volume was published by Bar-Ilan University Press, 1989. Mentioned, Menachem Kellner is the author, K-E-L-L-N-E-R, Dogma in Medieval Jewish Thought. From Maimonides to Abravanel, dogma is a crucial issue. Do we have, do we Jews have dogma? Do we have beliefs that we all subscribe to? And this is a study of the history of Jewish dogma and the notion of dogma from Rambam to Abravanel in English. Again, Menachem Kellner, Dogma in Medieval Jewish Thought. This is published by Oxford University Press, 1986. So this is an older volume, but still I want to be sure that you know about it. Elliot Ginsburg, G-I-N-S-B-U-R-G, The Sabbath in the Classical Kabbalah. It's a very nice book, a study of Shabbat as it's understood in the Kabbalah. Elliot Ginsburg, The Sabbath in the Classical Kabbalah. This was published by the State University of New York Press, 1989. And needless to say, that could go into the liturgy category just as easily as this. Right, right. Marvin Fox of Brandeis University has recently published his studies, his more recent studies, in a volume called Interpreting Maimonides. Interpreting Maimonides. It's University of Chicago Press, 1990. I don't know if you ever attempted to take one biblical verse and trace the development of its interpretation throughout all of history. But if you want a model for how to do it, Jeremy Cohen has written a book called Be Fertile and Increase, Pro Revu, Fill the Earth and Master It, The Ancient and Medieval Career of a Bind This to Him. Let him read what Drushes looked like between 1200 and 1800, and he'll begin to appreciate what you're doing. In any event, Jewish Preaching and Anthology, this is Yale University Press, 1989. Finally, the last of the, what I'll call the medieval, although this is not only medieval, Moshe Idel has published a book called The Golem. I mean, this is especially significant because probably there's not a rabbi here who's rabbi of the synagogue that doesn't have at least one member of the congregation who's a golem. So this tells you not only how to construct golems, but how to deconstruct golems. And this is a history of the notion of golem in Jewish sources, right? So this is Moshe Idel, the leading young Kabbalist, that is history of Kabbalah at the University. Golem, Jewish Magical and Mystical Traditions on the Artificial Anthropoid. This is State University Press, 1990. Finally, I'm going to move into what I call modern, and just a few items, and then I'll come to the last portion of what I want to discuss, namely how do you locate these books. There are endless books in the modern period, and I hope no one will hold it against me if I don't mention either your book or your cousin's book, as the case may be. I simply, everything here is representative. I'm trying to select a variety of items. You can see, first of all, the range of items, the range of publishers, and so on, the range of topics, not more than that. So the same holds true for the few items that I'm going to select for the modern period. My president has published the Torah in Mador. I might lose my job if I don't mention this one. So, but clearly, I take it for granted this you don't need to be informed about. Stephen Schwarzschild's collected writings have appeared in one volume. Some of them are really very interesting. The Pursuit of the Ideal is the title. Jewish Writings of Stephen Schwarzschild. It is the late Stephen Schwarzschild. So this is a collection of his various Jewish studies, edited by Menachem Kellner, and published also by the State University Press, 1990. Pursuit of the Ideal. This is the title. The Pursuit of the Ideal, Jewish Writings of Stephen Schwarzschild.
A very important volume which appeared in Hebrew is a book by Leo Levy. It's called Sha'arei Talmud Torah in Hebrew. It has now appeared in English translation. And this now becomes a very important book in English translation. The English volume reads Yehuda Levy, Torah Study, A Survey of Classic Sources on Timely Issues. And I'm stressing the timely issues. This is a collection of superb material on the whole issue of Torah and Mada. So this is sort of related, if you like, to Norman Lamb's work, but this is a gathering of primary sources and translation through the generations. And how much time should be spent studying Torah, and may you sacrifice time and use it for secular study, and so on and so forth. Torah Study by Leo Levy, or Yehuda, L-E-V-I. And this is published by Feldheim Publishers, Jerusalem, 1990. Torah Study, A Survey of Classic Sources on Timely Issues. As I say, it's a translation of the Hebrew, if you prefer to use the original Hebrew, I mentioned one other book which I think is of interest. I have read it. James Kugel, a Bible scholar at Harvard University, is himself a Baal Tshuva, and he wrote a book for Baalei Tshuva. It is called On Being a Jew. On Being a Jew, What Does It Mean to Be a Jew? This is modeled on the Kuzari. It's a dialogue between two persons. It's certainly in no way really parallel to the Kuzari. This is intended for Baalei Tshuva. The Kuzari was not intended for Baalei Tshuva. But it's really written beautifully, and it has its own charm, and it may be useful for those of you engaged in outreach. So I bring it to your attention. This is recently published, James Kugel on Being a Jew. Hopper, San Francisco, Publishers, 1990. I'm going to skip retrospective buying because we'll never get to the last important item, and that is, how do you learn about the existence of these books, and where do you acquire them? It is important that you have booklets, and there are booklets that are made available to any, just for the asking. So I'm going to bring some of these to your attention. There's a magazine called Jewish Book World, published by the Jewish Book Council. You call them up, you give them your name and address, and put you on a mailing list. This will list for you, not all the items that you have here, but some of the items. Again, I repeat, there is no list, there is no bookstore that has every item that you see here. But you've got to put a lot of different things together. This is one of them. Jewish Book World, when you got back around, probably the most important such list is a magazine called Judaica Book News. And you should subscribe to it if you don't have the time to go to the library and read it at a library. Judaica Book News will usually carry almost all university press material, which is probably the most difficult material for you to learn about. So this is very useful. It comes out about twice a year. I'll pass it around, and you can copy out the address and tell them where to go. For Israeli material and Hebrew material, the best list that will easily be available to you is a major dealer in Tel Aviv, J. Robinson and Company. J. Robinson and Company. They publish monthly lists of all new books. This includes comic books, novels. Much material that you may not be interested in, like English translation of Umberto Eco's Name of the Rose, the Hebrew translation of the Name of the Rose, and so on. But still, it lists every book being printed in Israel of any interest, and include, of course, Sifrei Kodesh, not all, but many, and again, university press items. I'm going to pass around a typical catalog of the new book that comes out once a month approximately. No, and send them your address, and we'll be happy to send it to you. That same company sells used books. And so this is the one time I'll refer to retrospective buying. The greatest weakness, I suspect, of any rabbinic library will be all the things you haven't bought till now that you should have bought. And there you have to buy from used book lists. That would require at least an hour presentation to discuss to you how you acquire used foreign. I can't do it now, but I'll at least give you one major way of doing it, and that is the same Robinson publishes a used book list. You can get on his used book list. I'll pass one around for you to look at. Only Israeli books. Well, the used books are the books published 100 years ago in Europe as well, in America. And the new books are only Israeli books. Now, the only list that's being published today that will be easily available to you of the main Sifrei Kodesh that are being published throughout the world, Israel, America, London, and so on, is a regular list that comes out once a month. It's published by J. Beagle Company here in New York. You can look on the front and back of the page, and please take one. I think I've brought enough for everyone here, so you can take one. It has the address on it, and you'll see what a typical list looks like. Finally, all publishing houses publish catalogs of the books they publish. And here you have to be wise enough to do the following. That is, once you find two or three books from a particular publisher that you resonate to, then you know that that publisher is likely to continue publishing books you're going to resonate to. Make sure you give them your name and address and tell them you want to be on his list. I'll give you a sample. Here I have the Jason Aronson catalog of Judaica, the latest 1991 catalog, which obviously has a lot of material that will be of interest to any rabbi, and you should be on their list. I'll give you a sample of a book that's on here, which some of you have contributed to, I suspect. Basil Herring has edited a book called The Rabbinate as Calling and Vocation. The Rabbinate as Calling and Vocation, and here it is listed in the Aronson catalog. Finally, a word about stores. Obviously, you should be browsing in bookstores. And I realize that the rabbis have serious time constraints. How about you think? I can't imagine a rabbi being unaware of major works that the Halacha and so on that he should be aware of. And the best way is not only through these lists that we're talking about, by actually visiting bookstores. There are over 30 Jewish bookstores in New York City. No two bookstores carry the same material. And I don't expect all the rabbis suddenly to go running around to 30 bookstores, but I'm going to give you what to me are obviously the best. So you'll have the widest selection, so by one visit a month, you'll see what you need to see, by and large. Now, in terms of Sifrei Kodesh, J. Beagle Company, and you have the address on the page that you have in front of you, in Borough Park, 16th Avenue, between 44th and 46th Street, J. Beagle Company. And that's where you'll see just displayed on tables regularly all the latest Sifrei Kodesh. Eichler's, there are two stores, one in Borough Park on 13th Avenue, one in the Flatbush on Coney Island Avenue near J&K. Also has a very fine selection of Sifrei Kodesh. If you visit once a month, just Eichler's and Beagle, you'll be doing well. You again wouldn't have even half the material that's on the table, but you'll be doing well. So the scholarly material for the university press books, aside from the list that I mentioned, you need two shops where you might want to walk into, and you won't find all, but you find a good portion of what I have here. I would recommend the Hermon Press Books, H-E-R-M-O-N. Look it up in a phone book. It's in Borough Park on 46th Street near 13th Avenue. 46th Street near 13th Avenue. He goes out of his way to carry material like New York Jewish Jews, or the University Press book, or a book like Talmud Shorshav, which you're not going to find in Beagle Eisen. All right. So Hermon in Borough Park, and J. Levine and Company, which I don't have its exact address, but is now located in Mid-Manhattan, I think it's West 30th. If anybody knows the exact address, tell me. 5 West 30th, okay? And that's a good place to go to get some of the materials that you're not likely to find in the Sifrei Kodesh series. One is you go through these lists, you get yourself catalogs from publishers, browse in the bookstores, and finally visit the library. And know that the Gottesdienst Library, right here at the Jewish University, fifth floor of the library, one of the greatest Judaica collections in the world. Every item I have here is available in that library and much more. If you spend more time in the library and browse through, you would see lots of items that you're not going to see anywhere, including everything that you've heard about till now. Finally, since the hour is late, I just want to close by saying, it'll come back. Here's another sample of upgrading. Great Sardic Rosh Yeshiva, a book called Anton, or a book called Darkei HaTalmud, also known as Darkei HaGemara. We printed many years ago in Israel in a terrible small offset of some Warsaw edition, barely readable. Here in Yerushalayim, a beautiful new edition based on manuscripts and so on. Author Rabbi Yitzchak, Kanpanton, Tuf Nun, Tei Alef Nun, Tet Vav Nun, Darkei HaTalmud, which is an introduction to the methodology by which one ought to study Talmud. And on page 72 of the New Jerusalem edition, one reads as follows, and I'll read the whole passage, and with that I'm done. Ein chokmat ha'adam magat, ela ad makom shesparav magim. Lachen yimkor adam kol ma sheyesh lo, yiknes sparim. I tell this to my wife all the time. Yiderech mashal, mi she'ein lo sifrei ha-talmud, mi efshar lo liot pakibo. Uchmokein, mi she'ein lo sifrei ha-rukua, mi efshar liot pakiba. מי שיש לו ספרים, אין המביאים אותו לידי חוכמה ודעת, כי היא חייך ואורך ימיך. Thank you very much.